daily report on the coronavirus pandemic with Dr. Henry Nyman. It is almost, I looked at it and I kind of didn't believe it. Trump actually invoked the DPA and ordered General Motors to begin to build ventilators. He said the talks weren't going too well. I don't know what that means. But he finally did something. Of course, he immediately announced that someone named Navarro would be taking over the DPA and its implementation if there is any further implementation of it. There is a ton to report as we wind up another week here. Italy today, over 900 dead. Overnight. And the U.S. is now, I guess, in all categories, number one. And Hillary made a joke out of it that didn't go over too well with some people, that Trump always said the USA is number one, and it certainly is. But all she did was tell the truth. Henry, welcome back. It's pretty crazy out there.
Yeah, Jeff, that's true. It's kind of getting out of control with these numbers. And the ones you cited are among the top ones. Italy got up to 919 deaths in one day. And U.S. did move into number one, but then they set another milestone by getting over 100,000 confirmed cases. And
right.
They actually beat that by quite a bit. And then I said yesterday that they would probably get up to 20,000 in one day, and they did do that. We did over 20,000 today. We did, I think it was 17,000 yesterday, and it was, we broke 10,000 for the first time earlier this week. So earlier this
now,
week,
all the way to 20 10, already.
Now we're all the way up to 20. And that's what exponential growth looks like. It was, New York is leading the pack by a wide margin. Even though they're somewhat limited, it seems that they're doing 16,000 tests a day. So, they end up, limiting kind of how many new cases they're going to have because, I think they're kind of at their limits as far as testing is concerned. They've got testing sites, but people just kind of line up for some of those with the drive-through ones anyway. But they do a couple updates during the day. So the total for New York tonight is up to 45,934 with 603 dead. So the number of deaths category is about the only one that we've got to catch up a little bit to be number one. As you mentioned, Italy had 919 today. Spain had 773. We actually topped 400 today. So we had 400 deaths in 24 hours. And so we're not really closing the gap on those two, but we are closing the gap on everybody else. And, we're going to be number three on deaths with just Italy and, Spain having more deaths than we do. We should catch, France tomorrow. It might take a couple of days to catch Iran. Iran's still in front of us, and France is still in front of us. The France is like only 300 in front of us.
I'm not hearing much about Iran, Henry. What's going on in Iran? They've kind of either put a lid on the news from Iran, or the Western media is just not bothering to report it. I don't see many stories about Iran.
I think they're not bothering to report it. I mean, there's this one site that does some breaking down of the deaths and the cases in the last 24 hours. So, Iran had in the last 24 hours, they had 144 deaths. So there aren't that many countries that break 100 in a day. And, they're still in front of us. They still have 2,378 deaths, and today they had almost 3,000 cases. So they have, they're putting the numbers up at a pretty good clip, but it's, we're kind of taking the headlines as well as, a couple of Spain and Italy are kind of taking the headlines in Europe. The UK kind of grabbed the headlines with Boris Johnson testing positive. So that's, they got a little bit of headlines out of that, and they got also over 100 deaths in one day. They actually had 181 today. So the UK is kind of getting more into the news. I think the UK was partially out of the news because of limited testing. So
right.
When it got to the royal family and now their prime minister, that's got a little more attention on them. They're probably testing a little bit more, and now they're getting up there on deaths and on cases. But none of them really compete with us. I mean, we, like I said, the only category we're not out in front all by ourselves is on deaths, and the only country that's really getting more deaths per day than us is Spain and Italy. So,
you mentioned Boris Johnson testing positive.
Yeah.
He also today, on the same day he announced that, asked Trump for ventilators,
generators. Right.
Oh
well,
man!
Well, that might have convinced Trump to get the contract done. So he's got
that could have been
to,
it.
Tell them if he accidentally makes too many. I mean, he kind of seems to be a little bit worried about how much is it going to cost. And I guess
I can't believe this.
It was going to be $1 billion.
What is wrong with his brain?
The generator's kind of, I guess he was on Hannity last night and he said, he didn't quite believe that New York needed the 30 or 40,000 they were asking for. And he said, hospitals only have usually a couple of these generators.
I couldn't believe that.
And then he says, and then all of a sudden, they want 30 to 40,000. And all of a sudden was the key word. It was like, where did this come from? They must be making it up because they want so many.
The guy actually lives in,
it's like,
he lives.
That's how he views a pandemic. I mean, he compares deaths in a pandemic to how many automobile deaths there are. And somehow thinks that since people are willing to drive cars, even though there might be 30,000 deaths per year or something, that they shouldn't be complaining. What's another pandemic year there, And so that's, he's making that comparison of automobile deaths, which are actually going down. they peaked in the 60s or so, I think.
That's correct.
And the numbers are going down, and he's taking something that's steady or lower every year to a pandemic that is going to be more deaths from this pandemic since 1918.
He said, hospitals usually have one or two. Wasn't that it? A couple? He said a couple or one or two.
A couple. One or two. That's what happened. And all of a sudden, New York needs 30 or 40,000. And it's kind of like, they must be lying because suddenly they need a lot.
You can't make this stuff up.
And so most of the country knows, what all of a sudden is due to, and unfortunately it's not limited to New York. And I mean, one thing did come out, I guess you did see the briefing, but
I did not see it.
He kind of acknowledged that, But he also kind of, I think Easter is over. Forget about the Easter deadline.
He did have to back off. I've read that too.
Safety first, right. So you got to make the country safe, and then we'll work on the economy. So he's kind of moved away from that, and then this balkanization thing where, you know, he's going to divide the country up into itsy bitsy pieces, and, you know, this county you can do X, and this county you can do Y, and you can't.
That's micro balkanization.
There was something that came up. I just been swamped. I haven't had a chance to look this up. One of the questions had to do with stopping, having military on the roads and stopping people from going from one location to the next. And I don't know exactly what that was, but it you know, sounded like, you know, they were going to say people couldn't leave New York or something, you know, because they were traveling, you know, out of an area that had a high level, potentially into an area with a low level. And there's some rumors about, oh, people are moving to Texas because they get away from New York and the East Coast and da 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 da. And so there's already these rumors starting that, you know, this area is good, that area is bad. You can't really go from an area with a lot of activity to an area with a low activity. And I didn't get any details, but one question seemed to hint that something was going on. And Trump said something to the effect, well, Tony will answer that. And then he talked so long that everybody cut away. And I didn't really get a chance to hear Tony say anything, actually. All the stations stopped covering the conference.
They don't. They actually dumped out on it. Oh.
Yeah. Well, he breaks it into two conferences. The first part is him talking and taking questions, and then he leaves. And then then there's questions to be. Then Pence comes and gives his summary and holds his second one. So the first one is kind of like a rally. He goes and says how good he's doing and how. Complains a little bit about the governors, and, you know, he threatened two of them. He threatened Wisconsin and Washington State.
Yeah, Governor Inslee. Really, he didn't like Washington's Inslee at all. No.
Right. And he said the governors had to be nice to him. If they weren't nice to him, he just wasn't going to return their calls. But he wasn't just saying that. He ordered Pence not to call them back. So he did say, you know, he specifically said that. You know, he didn't say nice. He used another word, but it was something to the effect that you have to praise him for him to return your phone call.
And must acknowledge his leadership. That's right.
Address your concern. No, not his leadership. How good a job he's doing. It's not that he's the leader. You got to go and say, you know, what a wonderful job he's doing on the pandemic. And then he'll listen to what you need, and maybe he'll send it. Maybe he'll say, I don't know. All of a sudden, he wants all these ventilators. What's that about? Yeah. So it is surreal to listen to it and just to see.
Oh, yes. Here, okay.
The antics, although he seemed to be in a good mood. I think his approval rating's going up somewhat just for because it's a pandemic and kind of.
Well, it's a textbook result. Always. Right. Whenever there's a threat, you don't change horses in the middle of a stream. That's the idea. You get behind him. People are afraid. A lot of that has to do with fear too. At first, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker tried to play nice. He limited criticisms of the federal government, i.e. Trump's, handling of the coronavirus pandemic, and asked for medical supplies through official channels. But nothing came, so he went on TV. First-term Democrat blasted the Trump administration Sunday on CNN for failing to help states obtain masks, gloves, and other protective gear. It got President Trump's attention. After a Twitter feud and some mudslinging, Pritzker compared Trump to a carnival barker. The two got on the phone Monday, and Trump promised Illinois 250,000 masks, Henry, and 300 ventilators. That's what he got.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. That probably hit him hard because his family is, Pritzker is, well-known in the Chicago area.
It's a historic family there.
Support.
Yeah.
And they support several of the hospitals there as well as the university with medical research and stuff. So, you know, he probably wanted to make sure they at least had their PPEs and, you know, give them a couple hundred thousand. Really generous there. So, well, it's bad, and it's only going to get a lot worse. And I think that part of the reason that the Easter deadline is falling by the wayside, and even find the funny trail. So, even the idea that there's going to be these big differences, although, like I said, there's still these rumors about, you know, people leaving New York and heading for Florida, although Florida is going to be a disaster, or heading to Texas, and, you know, Texas.
I understand that there are a lot of U-Haul trucks on the road and a lot of vacancies, no trucks available, people leaving hotspots and moving to other areas. There's some flight going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are going to have, you know, they already have restrictions. So, I mean, there's those issues, and there's a lot of fear. I mean, the 911, you call 911 in New York, you got put on hold. They said, don't call unless A, you have breathing difficulties, or B, you're having a heart attack. Otherwise, don't bother. You're not going to get priority. You know,
that's what I've been saying for a long time.
And
a day will come when 9/11 will not be responsive. And then what happens when the word gets out? The cops aren't coming. A lot of the bad guys are going to get.
Unfortunately, it's not just 9/11. The issue came up about DNR, do not resuscitate, choices as to who gets the ventilators and who doesn't. And
if you're in Italy and you're over 60, you lose. And it may end up in that kind of a situation here.
Exactly. Well, there were multiple indications of that right around the corner here. One indication came when Deborah, what is it, Burks said yesterday that she couldn't believe that somebody was telling the public that there may not be ventilators available for older patients. And she said that is not true. And then, you know, kind of...
And how is Ms. Burks going to make these ventilators appear?
Added the qualifier. That is not true at this time.
That's her out.
You got to look at your watch to see exactly when it was. When's going to be true? Probably about 15 minutes from now. So, yeah, they threw in this at this time.
That's a big phrase, right. Ladies and gentlemen, a big phrase to dump in there. Wow.
Right. And then after that statement, there was one that came in out of, it might have been out of Boston, like the American Medical Association, but it wasn't. It was some physicians group or something talking about exactly those types of plants that, you know, that they would like to give, you know, optimal care to everybody, but, you know, there may come a time where they have to make a choice as to who's going to get it. Right. And then even Cuomo started kind of hinting at it this morning. He was saying, you know, we most of the people, you know, don't even get hospitalized. They have a mild case, and some people come to the hospital but they don't really need a ventilator, and others get a ventilator and, you know, they're on it for a few days and they recover and they're fine. But others just are on the ventilator. And if you're on the ventilator for, like, I think you said 10 days or something, that wasn't a good sign. And, you know, that seemed to translate, at least you could translate that. Well, if they put you on a ventilator and you don't improve, you may not stay on that ventilator if they start running.
That's
out
what
of
he's saying. That's not even DNR. Yeah. That's pull the plug on this guy. That's it, or gal, whatever.
Right. So they didn't come out and say that that's what they were going to do, but they did say that if you're on the ventilator for X number of days, the outcome was not, you know, favorable. Usually the outcome was not good. And that's how I would translate that. If you're on the ventilator,
it's talking about euthanasia
here.
That's the word. Yeah. Euthanasia.
Yeah. Well, in any event, that's one of the reasons, you know, people are getting scared. And
yeah, Henry, let me just a little thing here. This is important. People still think, and we've said this, older people over 60. I've mentioned it, but we've got these other cases that are really concerning. A 17-year-old in Southern California is dead 5 days after getting a positive result. 5 days. He got so sick he couldn't breathe. He went to an urgent care. He'd been diagnosed, and they said, sorry, we can't help you. You got no insurance. So he left and died. And then a Texas father of six kids died 2 days after getting diagnosed with coronavirus. So this is cutting across the board. I don't want people to think this is an old people's disease. It's not. Go ahead.
Well, along those lines, I think a lot of that has to do with this Italian strain, because they did mention in Europe they're seeing some younger people that are getting
very sick
on ventilators. They get pneumonia, yeah. They go on ventilators, and they may recover, but they're, you know, it's not like they get it and they're, you know, got a sore throat and a little bit of a cough or whatever for a few days, and then they're good to go. And so that's the other concern, is that, you know, even the ones that actually do recover still end up needing a ventilator for X amount of days. And they cover, I mean, they've been given the age breakdowns of the people that go in. It's, you know, there's a lot that are in the, you know, 30s to 40s range. You know, they're not all over 70 or over 65 or over 60. That's not, I mean, those are the ones that do the worst, and those are the ones that are more likely to end up on a ventilator in that age. You know, a higher percentage of them go on a ventilator than the younger one, but a lot of the younger ones do end up going on to a ventilator. They do have pneumonia. They do have breathing difficulties. And the numbers are really taking off. Yeah, you know, I had said yesterday, I think, that New Jersey had moved into number two in the
correct
country, and they had like 2,400 cases. Well, today they're up to 8,825. So they are above. They have twice as many as California. Now California is almost 4,800. They're 8,800, and those numbers, you know, obviously are going up quickly. Instead of going up 2,400 in a day, they went up, you know, almost over 5,000 in a day. And so New Jersey is is, you know, right behind New York. And, you know, it's getting pretty bad in New Jersey. We've got relatives in New Jersey that haven't been diagnosed yet, but there seems to be a little doubt that they're affected, and the whole families are infected now. And it's just spreading like wildfire in New Jersey. And these numbers, 1 in 1,000, I don't believe that for a second. It is much higher than that, because I personally know too many people that are obviously have it. And, well, the ones I know haven't been diagnosed. They're not even on their charts yet, as far as they're not in these, you know, 9,000 confirmed cases. And and New Jersey just started taking off. I mean, all of these started taking off. I mean, if you remember when New York had their first case was a traveler from Iran, and the index case for New Rochelle. And when they started looking, they were getting a bunch of, he worked in Manhattan, but they ended up finding his family and then, you know, the contacts of his family, and they were largely in New Rochelle, and they were focused in that area. And then New York was just kind of a sideshow. They you know, a couple people were connected to him and they were in New York, but most of the activity was in the New Rochelle area. And so there were virtually no cases confirmed in New York. I don't know the exact day. It's probably a month ago at the most. It's probably less than that. It's probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago, There was nobody confirmed in New York. You know, there's 46,000 cases. And
3 weeks.
Part of that is just testing. They weren't testing that much. And apparently it's still difficult to get tested. There's still limitations on testing in New York, and there's limitations on testing in Washington State. I just read that you know, they're
how can
up
that
there,
be after all this time and all that they've been through? How can that be? Wow.
Yeah. They're not that high. They're Washington State at 3,700. So they're still up there on deaths. They have 175 deaths, so they're kind of in second place on deaths. Mm-hmm. But California's got more cases. New Jersey's got more cases. And New York's got a lot more cases. And Michigan's getting ready to pass Washington, as is Massachusetts, as is Florida, as is Illinois.
Louisiana and Georgia are right there, too. They're moving.
Right. But they're not as close as the ones I gave all have over 3,000. Louisiana's almost up there. They're 2,700. And Georgia's, I don't know, this one might be a little old. It says it's 2,100. I think they're a little higher than that. They got Pennsylvania is 2,200, and Pennsylvania is actually getting a little bit higher than that already also. But in any event, those numbers are going up very dramatically. And these recent ones that are on the move really seem to be related to this Italian strain of the virus. And so they're doubling every 2 days or so. And as I said a little earlier, once these states get to 500, 1,000 cases, then all of a sudden, you know, they're 1,000. 2 days later, they're 2,000. And 2 days after that, there are 4,000. That's where these cases are. They're all
doubling,
in the 3,000 to 4,000 range, and they'll all pass Washington State this weekend. I mean, by Monday, Washington State will be about 10th on the list. They're going to have Michigan's going to be in front of them. Massachusetts will be in front of them. I think Florida will be in front of them, Illinois, Louisiana. All of them will be in front of Washington, because that's how how fast they're going up. And Washington doesn't have enough kits. They're not testing that many cases. They're sequencing quite a few. There's quite a few sequences. The sequences have me swamped. I haven't really, I mean, there's literally hundreds of sequences appearing per day. I think it's probably close to 400 or 500 sequences that have come up in the last couple of days or so. And there's some big studies that are interesting. You might have read about, there's a study that's going on in Iceland. And, you know, I had mentioned Iceland when they first started reporting cases, and that kind of struck me as an odd place for a lot of cases. And and I looked at the initial ones, and they were people who had gone to Italy for ski trips. And apparently, virtually all of these cases in Iceland that they've got some study that they plan on testing, like everybody in Iceland, you know, some very high number, or everybody in one area of Iceland. And, but they just released, I don't know what it was. I think it was about 300 sequences. And I started going through them. I didn't get through 300, but I started looking, and they're pretty detailed. They actually list where they traveled to, and some were to Austria, and some were to Italy. And I started going through them. They're all the Italian version. I mean, they all have, you know, very similar sequences from different locations in Europe, and that's another way to get a handle on what Europe looks like, that even if it's a country that hasn't done much sequencing themselves, they, you know, if somebody from Iceland was there and got infected, then they go bring the virus back, and there's two different groups that are doing the sequencing there, and they literally have released. I was wondering where the sequences were, because I read about the study, and I hadn't seen the sequences, and then, like, last night, I don't know, it was in the hundreds. It was at least 200. I think it was closer to 350 or something. So there were 200 to 300 sequences were released, and the limited number that I looked at, all were the same lineage with, you know, some variations. And I think that a whole bunch just came out of the U.S. and a bunch were from California, and those just came out in the last hour or so. So I haven't even looked at those other than who was sequencing those, but and where they came from. But those will offer, you know, a little bit more insight. And the bottom line is going to be, though, and that's one of the advantages of the sequencing. You know, as I always say, the story's in the sequence. When you have one particular lineage that shows up and it basically takes over, then that's an indication that that lineage has an advantage, and that is causing, a dramatic increase in cases, and then that leads, you know, the researchers to interest in, you know, what's that sequence look like. And they all look like this Italian strain. And that's why a lot of these stories that they're saying, well, you know, what happened in China, or what happened in Japan, or what happened in South Korea, or what happened in Hong Kong, and what happened in all of those countries is probably not all that relevant to what's happening in the United States and Europe, because the United States and Europe have a different strain of the virus, and that strain has adapted, and it is causing the number of cases to go up quickly. It's causing the case fatality rate, the frequency of deaths, to go up quickly. And that's why, you know, that's in large part why the U.S. is number one. The U.S. is number one because we were, you know, looking at who was coming from Wuhan or who was coming from China. And there were all of these Americans that had gone to Europe and picked up that Italian version and come back here. And they just weren't being tested. I mean, even if they had symptoms and they had classic symptoms of COVID, and they said, have you been out of the country? And they said, yeah, where were you? Well, I was in Italy or somewhere in Europe. And they would say, well, you know, we're not, that doesn't meet our definition. And they just weren't tested. And if they weren't tested, there was no contact tracing. So they really weren't looking at who their contacts were and who was related, you know, contact with them that had symptoms, and they weren't testing them. And they weren't telling them to quarantine, and they weren't even telling the people that were positive that they were definitely positive. They were just saying, you know, we're, all of our cases are coming from China, because that's the only ones we test. You know, if you don't meet the case definition, you're not a case. You know, you don't get tested, you don't get identified, you don't get traced. There's no contact tracing, and it's like a community case. It's like you go out, you infect whoever you want. We're not going to test them either, because they had contact with somebody that had symptoms, but they didn't have contact with somebody that was confirmed. I mean, I ran into the same thing. I said, well, I don't know. Contact, they had just come from China, and they were coughing a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we started coughing 2 weeks later, and pretty sure that we had it. And they said, well, obviously they didn't have it, because we have zero cases in Allegheny County. So, well, it isn't that they didn't have it. It's that they weren't. Tested, they weren't confirmed, because they weren't interested in getting tested. They were kind of getting settled here. They were moving into the Pittsburgh area, and they didn't want to, you know, go to the doctor and then go, oh, we're looking for a house. And by the way, you know, we just came from China. We got that mystery disease, but we're okay now. Yeah. So in any event, it was just a failure at the most disastrous level. And that's why all of these, you know, pandemic preparedness exercises, they went through a lot of different possibilities, but they really didn't include the fact that the initial testing would fail, that they would have all of these cases that would come in under the radar.
We had no testing here.
All over the place. And we had, Henry, just flying blind. We had no idea
where
it was.
We had no testing for 6 to 8 weeks of any significance.
It's still, we have no testing. There are people that have classic symptoms that cannot be tested because they don't have all of them. You know, they don't have
it's the criteria game. I know.
Right.
You know.
They don't have a high enough temperature. I mean, that's what happened with swine flu. They had kids in school. They had to be 100.4. They would go to the nurse's office, and they were 99, and they gave them cough drops and sent them back to class. I mean, that's a true story. I mean, I was following this very closely, and it wasn't a rumor. I heard it from people whose that happened to their child in Pittsburgh at the school. And I saw what they put out. You know, the criteria was 100.4, and 50% of people with swine flu didn't have any fever. And so they've lowered it now for this, because seniors don't typically run as high a temperature. So now they've lowered to 99.4. Well, I'm still virtually positive I had it. I didn't have any fever at all. I had a cough for a good 2 weeks. Yeah. But I never developed a fever, and I was tired, very tired. And everybody in the family had it. And it started a couple of weeks after we had contact with somebody who was coughing a lot. And this was like late January. So, I mean, we could have been one of the first cases in Pittsburgh. And, we still can't be tested. And so they've gotten rid of the fever, I think, in the Philadelphia area. They'll now test you without the temperature, but they're going crazy there. I mean, they just updated Philadelphia's up to 637 just in that one region. It doesn't count all the suburbs. I mean, Montgomery County's got 371, Delco County's got 190. So these are both suburban Philadelphia area. So they're well over 1,000 metropolitan area there.
Couple of things. One, in New York, which is the so-called epicenter now, the stories are quite clear. The parks are full of people. The subways in many areas are packed. Social distancing is being defied there and flaunted by a lot of people. And that brought the Chicago mayor to warn anybody who goes outside to exercise may be arrested. But they can't do anything in New York. I mean, people are just, they're bristling at this. They don't like it. They're rebelling in various places around the country. Some people say, literally, and these are suicide hotline calls, I would rather be dead than be infected by this. Now, a lot of that has to do with the mainstream media and how they're playing this. They're scaring the hell out of people. But that's a sad thing to see on a suicide hotline. I'd rather be dead. And 80% of the people, remember, get right through this. Not right through, but they get past it. Okay? Then there's an interesting little sideline, which is kind of neat. That's a side note. U.S. animal shelters are experiencing record numbers of animal pet adoptions by people who are locked down. They want companionship. Yeah. That's kind of nice to get those animals good homes. And I mean, I like that. U.S. gun sales are exploding.
That's true. My daughter went to look at getting a rescue, and they're on Getty. They're all accounted for. And you just looked at this a few days ago.
Here's the bad. The last one, Americans who don't have toilet paper are using other things like paper towels, like those moist baby wipes, which do not. That's right. You've got a massive clogging of toilets. So the drain service companies are having a field day. So it's anyway, crazy things.
Now, I don't know about that much defiance in New York, just because they always show the early morning pictures. You know, they're not that early. You know, 9 o'clock pictures of like Times Square, and there are very few people and very few cars in the heart of New York.
Well, but
they're loaded with ambulances. The sirens are going. They said, they've never. They haven't heard anything like that since 9/11.
Well, what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen?
Sirens.
It means that all these ambulances have virus in them. Think about it. They can't go in there and deep clean the ambulance every time they use it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, they're just all they're picking up are COVID cases there. Although that was part of the selection, as far as the difficult choices, they were saying, a lot of these surgeries that are not at all related to COVID that were scheduled, and they're elective in the sense that they've got a little bit of time to play with, but they're serious surgeries that need to take place in the near term, and they're putting those off. And they're saying there may come a time in that few distant future where, there won't be anything other than COVID. That's all. That's going to be 100% of the cases. And, with these rates going up the way they are, they're, it's not in the distant future. It's like next week. And that's what the deal is with the ventilators, that whole thing as far as GM making them, they're it's kind of like, we can make 10,000 a month or 10,000 a week or whatever the rate is, but not until like 2 months from now.
This is going to be way after the fact. Nobody's talking about making masks yet in mass, en masse. It's not happening. There are no, only ventilators. That's all I've seen. Cuomo, as you heard Henry say, has approved now what he called the splitting of use of ventilators, as some coronavirus patients are staying too long on the ventilators, up to 30 days. So they're going to be pulling these people off to share the ventilator with another patient, and people are going to die. It's real obvious what's going on, what the decisions are.
It's got issues with transit and the virus contaminating. And actually, I think there's one YouTube showing how you can split it four ways. You can have four on the ventilator.
And, really?
I didn't know that. It's kind of like it works. It works, but you know, I'm not sure exactly how it splits, but I think there's the potential of
backflow
contamination.
Got to be backflow. The valve doesn't shut quickly. Backflow, yeah. Whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
Here are, I've got three.
Okay, go ahead.
I have three videos showing very crowded subways. Many people have masks on, but they're standing room only in the subways. I've got videos here from New York.
Yeah.
I got a video of another group. It's a still picture. Hundreds of people sitting on one of the wharfs on benches, just sitting there watching the boats go by. So they're out. And I'll send these along to you. Yeah.
Speaking of boats, did you
the one in Florida?
Carnival. Yeah. Well, it's not there. It's trying to get through the Panama Canal heading for Florida, but they're trying to get there. And they've got four people dead on board. And
I didn't hear this one.
This is the same company that does the Princess line. They got the Carnival line. And they've got a ship. It was, I think it was going down to South America, and then they ended up with some passengers with flu-like symptoms, and they couldn't find a port to go in. And I guess it started at the beginning of March, the cruise. I think it was like a 21-day cruise, and so it's supposed to have been over, on the 21st, I think, and they couldn't get any port that would take them. I think they're trying to get back to Fort Lauderdale, or they're trying to unload at Fort Lauderdale.
And they got dead bodies on board.
And they've got four dead bodies on board, and they're trying to offload. They went and they sent kits for testing, and then those that test negative, they're trying to offload them onto another ship. And then the crew members of the other ship was concerned about who's coming on there, who are they bringing on board. And, you know, just because they test negative on the test doesn't mean that they're not infected and they're not going to, you know, basically be infectious while they're picking them up. And the crew saying, you know, that it's, I don't know, you got to read it. Some of the communications leaked out, and they're telling the crew.
Oh, they were trying to keep this quiet because the cruise ship industry didn't get the bailout money, so they don't want any more hassles.
I can't believe they're still doing cruises. I mean, admittedly, just began, I guess, a month ago. So
I know. It is bizarre.
It was, you know, one of these 21-day cruises, so it wasn't really supposed to end. But by the time it did end, they knew they had infections, or I guess wherever they were trying to, you know, pull into, knew that. And so they're trying to do this transfer at sea to another ship. and the crews of the other ship were saying, you know, we don't want all those passengers, even if they have been tested, that it's loaded with virus and it's been loaded so long that they not only are symptomatic, there are dead, you know, there are four elderly passengers, is how they said it. And some of the ones that were alive have been tested and they're positive. And most of them are American. You know, it's got, I don't know, 1,800 passengers and 700 crew or something along those lines. I mean, it's a big ship. And I don't know how many are infected. In fact, nobody knows.
Oh, there could be. The sky's the limit. Right. You never know. As of Friday, 138 people, 53 guests, 85 crew had reported flu-like symptoms. There are 1,243 guests and 586 crew on board, which is now off the coast of Panama. Number of victims is respiratory.
They had to get through the Panama Canal to get to, I think they're trying to get to Fort Lauderdale, but I don't think they're going to find a positive reception and then say, come on.
Doesn't seem like it, Henry. Doesn't seem like it. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll put this story up as well. Okay. Been a hell of a week. The weekend isn't going to slow down any. We'll be right back.
These numbers are going to keep going up. I mean, New York will probably have, there are 46, they'll probably have 60, 70,000 cases by Monday. So it's pretty remarkable. So, okay. Indeed. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And
yeah,
we'll
be safe.
Get back at it on Monday.
Okay, Henry.
Okay,
thanks so much. All righty.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, and again, we're here every night, Monday through Friday, with a third hour of the program covering this issue to the best of our ability, and we're just very fortunate to have Dr. Nyman here. He's been on this program now for going on 20 years, and he is one of the best. Back soon. You know where to find us in the meantime, and we'll be Monday Night Live, our best of on Sunday. Maybe I'll run two or three reports. We'll see. I don't want to belabor this. I know it's not a lot of fun, but it is the dominant story since 9/11, and it may surpass it easily. Talk to you soon. Be well.